Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is made possible by our supporters over on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get your own RSS feed with ad-free shows and extra episodes every month, then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro.
Programs, and we're back for another episode of the Nerd Cave Retro Show. My name is Jason Robbins.
And my name is Derek Diamond.
So, how has your week been? I see you got a new addition to the family.
We do, yeah. If you're watching the YouTube version, you see I've got the newest member of the Diamond family, Mr. Hopper here. He's a little Yorkie. He's 11 weeks old. We got him. Yeah, say hi, buddy. We got him last Thursday.
he's trying to tear Derek's shirt off right now.
This isn't that kind of podcast. But no, we've got him this past Thursday, and he's been a fun addition to the family.
Looks like it. Like, he looks like a little rambunctious little guy.
He has so much energy. Oh, it's sure. Insane. Like, you know how puppies are. Like, they just go, and then all of a sudden they're just like...
I'm sticking with cats, because cats are just like, hey, I'll play for like 2 seconds, and they're like, all right, I'm done, get out of my face, and then they go do whatever.
You know what, never mind, get out of here.
Yeah, I don't want to play, never mind.
But how about you?
I'm going pretty good. I started playing some Stardew Valley over the weekend, and
good game,
jumped into that. I'm having a good time with it, and I've been playing a lot of Civ 6 or 7, the one that came out just a couple of years ago. I think it's Civ 6. I've been playing on the Switch for the past few days. I don't know what it is about that game. It's like a comfort food kind of game.
That's what I've heard. You know, I've never played a Civ game, but for the most part, that's what I hear from those that have played it.
They're so fun. You need to try it.
I'm trying to think. I played a little bit of the Mario RPG remake a few days ago. I have been. My new gaming goal is to beat the original Star Fox.
Oh, really?
I've never beaten it, and I made it to, I think, the third phase of Venom, the final planet, and I didn't last very long. we'll say that. So, the quest continues for that. I randomly thought about it and was like, you know what, I'm gonna give this a shot. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Yeah, you should definitely give a Civ game a try. They're all really good. And my favorite one was actually for the 360, came out in the 360 and PS3. It was the Civilization Revolution game that came out back then. It's more of an arcadey version of the Civ games. And I love that game. I wish they would put out another one like that.
You never know. Maybe they will.
Well, there's something about Sid Meier's games, man. Those games just have like that addiction sauce mixed in with them where you just can't stop playing them.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I've never played one is because I know the type of personality I have. So it's like with Smash Brothers. I can only play it for a very select amount of time.
Yeah.
Because I will lose track of time completely when playing that game.
Yeah. But what we're doing this week for this episode, no news or video game history because thanks to Nick W, who is in the chat room right now. He's in our Discord as, what's his numbers again? Hold on. I always forget. It's Nick, 59524 in our Discord. Put the suggestion.
Call him
that
Nick
we do.
TK421.
Yeah. TK421. Why aren't you at your post? he gave us the suggestion to do top five RPGs, and holy crap, we got a lot of submissions for this week.
Which is really cool because, you know, I can't believe that we haven't done this list because mm-hmm. we've talked about RPGs quite a bit in the multi-year history of the show, but I think it's worth the wait.
Yeah.
He says, just call me Nick W.
Well, let me play a little something here.
Just call him Nick Dub.
Nick Dub. I like that. Nick Dub. But I'll play a little something here to lead us in. Here we go.
You look like your head fell on the cheese dip back in 1957.
So who wants to go first, me or you?
Usually I go first, so why don't you take this one?
All right. Well, I have a few runners up that I put on the list. There was a lot more actually that I wanted. Like I was going to put Days Gone on there and I was going to put, you know, Mad Max on there. But I needed to make room. So here are my four runners up that I have from my list. At the number one spot is Diablo 3, which if you have never played a Diablo game, I personally think I haven't played 4 yet, but 3 has been my favorite of the first three. I played it multiple times through, and it's a very, very fun game if you've never played it. Of course, KOTOR 1 and 2, Knights of the Old Republic. I mean, come on. It's one of the greatest Star Wars games. Not only just Star Wars games, one of the best RPGs ever made. So
I call KOTOR 1 the granddaddy of Star Wars games.
Yeah, they were so good. Of course, Torchlight, which a lot of people like Torchlight 2. I didn't finish Torchlight 2, so I got to go with the first Torchlight. It is a very, it's made by a lot of the people that worked on Diablo, so it has a lot of Diablo sauce in it. It's probably the best Diablo clone that has ever been attempted. So if you never played Torchlight, it's basically a more cartoony Diablo, so go check that out. And, of course, Skyrim. I put about 200 hours into that game before I decided I needed to sell it to a friend of mine who we call Canadian John at the time, a friend of mine who, of course, lives in Canada. But I sold it to him because he lived down here at the time, and I had to sell it to him because I was just playing too much of it, and I needed to get rid of it.
A similar story. I actually had to get rid of my copy too, because yeah. I remember, well, and Skyrim's on my honorable mentions too, but I remember going to pick that up opening night back when they used to do the midnight releases. Mm-hmm. And we went to a friend's house and played that game till the sun came up.
Yep.
I just couldn't put it down.
I miss midnight releases, man. Dude, we've lost so many cool things in our digital world.
Is that something you could add back if you become president?
Yeah, if I become president, I'm bringing back midnight releases, midnight movies. I'll bring back Blockbuster and arcades and all that cool stuff. Saturday morning cartoons. I'm bringing it back. I'm bringing it all back.
Hey, you got my vote.
But for my actual list, at my number five spot is Borderlands 2. I played through it so many times. I played it through twice when I first played it. I finished it and then immediately started a new game and played it again. And played most of the DLC. When I played it, it was the Game of the Year edition that had been gifted to me. on Steam because I had never played it, and a friend of mine bought it for me, got me the game of the year, so it had all the DLC to it. And then after I played all that, I downloaded the Tiny Tina's her Dungeons and Dragons adventure DLC that she did, or they did for her, and it was too difficult for me, so that's when I stopped playing it. Because it was way more difficult than the regular game.
Yeah, I never played Borderlands or Borderlands 2.
I highly recommend 2. 2 is freaking fantastic. And of course, my number 4 spot, we have Sea of Stars, which I just played over the holidays, and I cannot say enough good things about Sea of Stars.
I thought this would have been your number 1.
Oh, no. You know what my number 1's going to be. At the number 3 spot, of course, World of Warcraft. I would love to still be playing World of Warcraft to this day, but I like to have a life and do other things besides playing video games all night and not getting any sleep and then going to work on like 3 hours of sleep per week. So I'm not going to play World of Warcraft anymore.
Again, that's why I've never played World of Warcraft, because I know that I wouldn't be able to stop.
Yeah.
So I just removed myself from the equation, but I've heard great things.
That's a healthy outlook to have with World of Warcraft. At my number 2 spot, Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. Now, I would have said Breath of the Wild before I played Tears of the Kingdom, but they took everything that was good about Breath of the Wild and they made it even better in Tears of the Kingdom. And I know you love it too. I know it's probably on your list, but I just had to throw it on there at the number 2 spot.
It's arguably the best Zelda game ever made. I will say, like, I know there are Zelda fans that don't like the Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom because it's such a departure, but I don't really think it is.
Yeah,
personally, I just think it's a new layer that they've added to that franchise.
And Chuck in the chat room says 3 days a week for raiding. That's all you need for WoW. I don't have 3 days a week to devote to raiding. I can't just, plus I have to get to end game too. So you got to get through all that, those last few levels to get to where you need to go. No, I'm not doing that.
I feel like I don't even have 3 hours to play World of Warcraft, much less 3 days.
And of course my number one spot, the game that I just finished another playthrough a few weeks ago, the Mass Effect trilogy. Now, if you'd have asked me this a couple of months ago, I would have just said Mass Effect 2. But playing the whole thing, I mashed them all together for the trilogy because it is one long story, and they've made it seamless throughout the games to where it's all very seamless through each of the three games. I liked it much better playing it all the way through, because at the time I think there was too many, the expectations were too high for the ending of Mass Effect 3, and a lot of people were disappointed. I personally wasn't, but it was also like I didn't feel like they quite stuck the landing back then. But playing it through all the way through in one shot, I appreciated it much, much more.
I think you find that with a lot of things, not just with video games, but with movies too, where the expectations are so high to the point that it's like no matter what they do, it's not going to make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
But then you play through it years, years removed from it, and you're like, you know what? It actually wasn't so bad. And that's what's great about that trilogy, is that if you play them back to back, it's so seamless.
Yeah.
And that's what was to me so great about that story, is that it really felt like cinematic storytelling through a video game.
And plus, when you really boil it down, you know, how many different endings are you wanting to the game? I mean, I know it only boils down to a couple of different endings, and people were saying, well, it doesn't matter the choices you made throughout the game. Like, yeah, it did. The choices did matter because those were what made your journey significant to your playthrough, was those the way you responded to things, the choices you made, the relationships you made throughout the game, the people you saved, the people that died. It was all important. And when you play it, and I highly suggest that if anybody out there played it originally and didn't like that ending, play through it again. Play through the entire trilogy all in one shot, and I think you'll like it much better than when it first came out.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And then one day I do want to do that. I don't know when that will be, but those games were just so good. So good. So I respect that they are your number one. And I think you have to put them as a trilogy and not just one, two, or three.
Yeah, and I would say if you're going to play the trilogy, just block off about a good 2 months of playtime because those games are huge.
Yeah.
But those are my lists. Let's move on to yours.
Yeah, those were great honorable mentions and a good top five list, too. Hopper, you want to read my list for me? He's trying to get out.
Yeah.
Well, let's see.
You need to go run and let him out real quick, or...
Oh, Samantha got it.
Okay.
So my honorable mentions, you just mentioned it, but the Mass Effect trilogy, great storytelling. You really feel like you're watching a movie and you get invested in the characters like you do a movie, especially when you see the progression throughout the trilogy and, you know, what choices you make influences what happens in the next installment and so on and so forth. So really great gameplay, really great storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Secret of Evermore for the Super Nintendo is also an honorable mention. I like the game, but I think that it came out at a time when these types of games were a dime a dozen, and there were several that were better. But it's a pretty underrated game, in my opinion. I reviewed it years ago on the show, so you can go back and check out the archives for that. Pokemon Yellow. I was on the fence about putting this in my list, but you know what? It is an RPG in its own way, so I had to include it. Skyrim, for the same reasons that you mentioned before, spent way, way too much time playing that game, but man, it was so good. It was so good. Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door, which the remake is coming out in just a couple of months, so excited to go back and revisit that.
Yeah, I
KOTOR.
That's actually on my wall of shame, is that I've never played Paper Mario, so I'm waiting for that to come out and experience it finally.
Paper Mario, the original, is great, but Thousand Year Door to me is a vastly better game.
Mm.
So I'm excited for you to experience it. KOTOR 1 and 2. Again, for the same reasons you mentioned, it's the granddaddy of Star Wars games, in my opinion. I remember thinking even back then, I wish this were a Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that it would make for a great movie, even though we know it'll never happen.
Yeah.
And my last honorable mention is Kingdom Hearts. You reviewed this a while back, and I remember the hype around this game was a little quiet in the beginning, even though the initial announcement was huge because it's like Disney combining with the company that made Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
And what they put together was a great, great franchise. And I'm shocked that Disney has not made this into a series or a movie.
Yeah, that is kind of weird. You would think, as popular as it is, that would be a surefire hit.
Yeah, absolutely. But moving into my actual list, my number five is Super Mario RPG. I include the original and the remake. I'm kind of in the same category, even though I actually do think the remake is better because it took everything that made the original great and made it even better.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an interesting genre choice that hadn't been done before with Mario, and it's still the best Mario RPG to me. It's better than Paper Mario. It's better than the Mario and Luigi games for the DS. It's got a cool story. You get to actually have Bowser on your team. So it's basically, it's a threat so great that Mario has to team up with his greatest enemy to fight it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool. Number four is Illusion of Gaia. I remember when this game came out, it made me want to become an explorer, because that's really what this game is about. It takes place during the Age of Exploration. It's not turn-based, which I think would satisfy a lot of people. Not going to name names to anybody who mentioned it in our Discord earlier today. But yeah, Illusion of Gaia, really underrated game. I love the storyline. I love the gameplay. The characters are great. Number three is Secret of Mana. What was unique about this game is that, you know, it came out for the Super Nintendo, and you had three characters in your party, but you only had two controller slots. So you'd have to get the adapter if you wanted to have a third person. But I just think that that trio was so unique at the time because, you know, we didn't have... Was it the N64 that was the first console to have four players, or was it the PlayStation?
No, I'm pretty sure it was the N64, because the original PlayStation only had two slots, didn't it?
I think you're right.
Pretty sure.
So this was my number one until I remembered what my actual number one
is. See, this blows my mind right here. Like, I could not have predicted this.
So my number two is Earthbound. I have expressed my love for this game really since day one of this show. I love everything about it. I love the quirkiness. I love the weird sound effects. I love the gross 90s humor that it incorporates. It's got everything that I would want in an RPG. My only drawback to it is the battle system. It is turn-based, but like your characters aren't even on screen. It's almost like you're looking from Ness's point of view at the enemy, which is kind of lame because, you know, Final Fantasy was already doing turn-based before Earthbound came out. But not every game is perfect.
I would have completely lost a bet if I would have made... I would have bet that was your number one.
Well, so the thing is, I was trying to not include any Zelda games. Because I'm like, you could say Zelda's an RPG, but I consider it more of like a fantasy adventure type of game. But my number one is Tears of the Kingdom. And I say that because for years, I wanted Zelda to move into the open world realm. When I went to the midnight release of Skyrim and I started playing it, I said, this needs to be a Zelda game. It will be perfect. Breath of the Wild came out, blew everybody's mind, and we're like, how can this get any better? Well, it got better with Tears of the Kingdom, because you're basically, you got three games in one.
Yeah,
with Tears of the Kingdom, you've got Hyrule, you've got the depths, and then you've got, you know, the Hyrule up above. So you, there's just so much that you can do. I haven't even scratched the surface.
I think I put,
no pun intended, on what you can do.
Like 140 hours into that game, and I still only open up about half of the map in the underworld. There are still places in Hyrule I haven't been to yet, and all the Sky Islands, I haven't opened them all up yet.
It's insane. It's like that game never ends.
Yeah. And it's one of the craziest things about that game is, even if you just want to not follow the story and just go exploring, there's literally never not anything to do, discover, something to come across, like a quest giver, or just some, no mat, like there's no part of the map that is forgotten about or untouched. You will find something to do wherever you go in that map.
I think adding the depths was so brilliant.
Oh, 100%.
With what they did with this game, because
they must have loved Stranger Things when they made that. They were like, we got to do that in Zelda.
No lie, the first time I went into the depths, I'm like, this is the Upside Down.
Yeah.
Like everything from the floating particles to everything looking, you know, like gray and dead. It's the Upside Down in Hyrule. But you know what? I love it. So I had to put Tears of the Kingdom at my number one, because as much as I love Earthbound and the other RPGs, none of them had the hype that I had for Tears of the Kingdom. And the game surpassed it. So it had to be my number one.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, people will say Legend of Zelda games aren't really a true RPG, but they're action RPGs, is how I... If you were to ask me what a Zelda game is, it's an action RPG, because it kind of laid the foundation for the RPGs, you know, the action RPGs like Skyrim and even Diablo, like games that are dungeon crawlers and things like that owe everything to Zelda.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
But great list, my friend. I would have lost a bet. I would have bet my car that Earthbound was going to be your number one.
It was for a while until I remembered Tears of the Kingdom. And then thinking about it, and I'm like, you know what? I think it's my number one.
Yeah. I don't blame you. I mean, I wanted to put it number... That's why mine landed at number two, because my number one is always going to be the Mass Effect trilogy. It's just, that's the greatest RPG ever made. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, that's completely understandable.
But before we go into your top fives, Derek, would you like to give our Patreon shout-outs?
Sure. As always, we like to shout out our awesome patrons over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. We want to shout out our newest patrons, Nick Dub and El the Zombie. Again, shout out to Nick for this awesome top five list. Yup Fed, a.k.a. Knife. James, a.k.a. at Jimbo Jr. on Discord. Travis Martin. Raven. Danny House. Justin Nispel. John West. Daniel Salmon, Mr. B-Rez Coffee himself, Mike Eveland, Tyler Watson, Axeblade07, Armez Jackson, Carlos Longoria, a.k.a. I am the Rampage, Staff Sergeant Sketch, Gus and Penny, Matthew Salmon, Mr. Joey Image, shout out to Joey who is in the chat as we speak, and last but not least,
Mama Diamond.
Donna Diamond, thank you all so much for your continued contributions and keeping the lights on for us here at the Nerd Cave Retro Show. And I say this every week, like I sound like the broken record that I've got somewhere in my house. For as little as a dollar a month, you get your own RSS feed. And if you're a fan of podcasting, who doesn't want their own personalized RSS feed?
With no ads whatsoever.
No ads. If you want to just listen to us talk for however long we go, all you got to do is give us a dollar a month.
Mm-hmm.
And you get early access to our monthly bonus episodes, which are usually commentary tracks for an animated series or a live action movie or an animated movie. But I know we've been talking. I think we're going to be doing something a little different.
Yeah, I think we're going to do a roundtable discussion for this month. Hopefully we can get it done by tomorrow, but if not tomorrow, it'll be sometime this week, because we're getting close to the end of the month, so we need to get that thing out. But we're gonna have a roundtable discussion, and I don't want to say what it is, but it's gonna be a surprise, and I think people will like it.
No, I think it'll be a very interesting chat for sure, because I'm curious where everyone's opinion lands. But yeah, for as little as a dollar a month, you get all of that fun stuff. Just head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And for new patrons, be sure to send us your social media info, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, so we can give you a proper shout.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And coming up first, we have we're going to go through our Facebook people from who gave us their lists over on Facebook. Up first, we have Mr. Mark Simmons, also known as @MushmouthTB on Twitter, if you want to go give him a follow. He says, Final Fantasy VIII, Final Fantasy XII, Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door, one of my favorite, one of my top five games of all time, probably, The Legend of Dragoon, exceptionally underrated and desperate need of a remake, and Earthbound. And he says, some honorable mentions, Bravely Default, The Elder Scrolls Oblivion, and Pokemon Gold and Silver. I wonder how many people are going to have Oblivion on their lists over Skyrim.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting because I know Oblivion's great, and I love that game. I enjoyed Skyrim more.
Yeah, I did too.
But that's just my opinion.
I only got a few hours into Oblivion before I stopped playing, but Skyrim just kept my attention.
Yeah, I was able to get a copy of Oblivion for cheap once, you know, the hype for Skyrim was really starting to pick up. I'd never played an Elder Scrolls game up to that point. So I found a cheap copy of Oblivion and, like you said, put a few hours into it. But it was still a fun game.
And he says, a little extra commentary. Final Fantasy VIII was my first RPG and the first video game I ever saw with swearing in it, which, of course, blew my 8 to 10-year-old mind. I got a demo with a small part of the game on it from Pizza Hut back in the day. That was my introduction to Final Fantasy as a whole. I miss stuff like that. Man, I wish good Pizza Hut was still around and you could go like get a pizza and a DVD. Oh man, those days were great.
With the checkered tablecloths and the buffet and the cool light fixtures.
The red
that
glasses
said Pizza Hut on them.
Makes the soda taste better.
I wish I could find one of those red glasses because I would totally put it as a display item here for the studio. Next up, we have Mr. Armez Jackson. He says, I do believe it took me the longest to get really into this genre. I do have my favorites, though. His honorable mentions are Infinite Space for the DS, Dragon Warrior for NES, Mother for Famicom, which in the US is called Earthbound Beginnings, and Children of Mana for the SNES. I never played Children of Mana. But I need to. Secret of Mana is the only Mana game that I've played, but I need to rectify that. Number 5, Pokemon Red and Blue for Game Boy. Number 4, Final Fantasy III for the DS. 3, Xenoblade Chronicles for the 3DS. 2, Contact, also for DS. And Pokemon Black 2 and White 2 for the DS are his number 1. That's shocking. I played Pokemon Black and White, but I never played the sequels. And Black and White was pretty fun, but I had been out of Pokemon for a while at that point, but wanted to see if I could get back into it, and it just never really hooked me. Mm-hmm. But that's pretty cool. That's a good list.
There's so many Pokemon. I don't know how you guys can keep it all straight. Like it seems like
every week. I fell off after Gold and Silver.
It seems like every week or every time we do a list, there's like Pokemon stuff in there, and there's like a different name for something every time we talk about it. I'm just like, what? When did these come out?
Photoshop nerds will get this joke, but there was a Pokemon Black and White game. The third version of that should have been 50% gray. I knew you'd get that.
Like
no
it.
One else probably will, and they're like, that's probably the dumbest thing I've ever heard, but I liked it.
Let's see. Up next, we have Mr. Jeff Miller, who says, some of my favorite games come from this genre. And he says, first up, Final Fantasy I. Which one is that? Is that Final Fantasy VIII in America, or which one is that in Japan?
Someone left a comment that we were going to say something like that.
Dragon Warrior 1, 2, and 3. Mario RPG, Rygar action RPG. I didn't even think about Rygar being an RPG. Zelda 2, yes, it's a great game with the winky tongue emoji. And I say, nay, sir, nay.
He does say, keep up the great pod, though.
Yeah, so thank you.
I do appreciate that.
Even though I highly disagree with that Zelda 2 nonsense.
I will say this, out of all the Zelda games that I have played, and I've played most of them, Zelda 2 is definitely one of them. And that's the nicest thing I can say about it.
Yep.
Next up, we have Mr. B-Rez Coffee, Mike Eveland. His honorable mentions, Mass Effect, not purely an RPG, so honorable mention. That's an interesting take on that. I classify it as an RPG, personally. Final Fantasy VII and Fallout New Vegas. His number five is
I just want to ask him, how does he not think Mass Effect is not an RPG? You have a character creator, you have a narrative, you have different outcomes depending on your dialogue choices. Like, you upgrade your weapons, you upgrade your character, your armor. I mean, what else you need for an RPG?
It's like that old saying, if it looks like a duck, smells like a duck, and quacks like a duck, it's a duck.
Tell me, sir, what more do you need for it to be an RPG?
I'm excited to see his response, which I'm sure we'll get in a couple of days. Number four, Dragon Age Origins. Three, Fable. I always forget about Fable.
I almost put Fable on here. Fable 1 and 2. Those were great games.
Mm-hmm. Number two, Fallout 2. Fallout pre-Bethesda is a whole nother experience. And number one, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. It's the grandpa of them all. I've got to put it number one. I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
KOTOR is so good.
And then we have Mr. Jacob Craig, my co-host over on the Open Micers podcast. He says, Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy X, Final Fantasy X-2, Final Fantasy 7 G-Bike. I wonder what that is. And Final Fantasy 13-2. So okay.
His actual number one through five is spelled T-R-O-L-L for troll. But no, I love that he sent that in. That's great. All right, so moving on to...
Actually, let's save Tyler. We always save Tyler for last, so let's...
Yeah.
Because he's got the novel. we'll go move over to Discord.
Let's see. Let's move up here.
Mr. Joey Image is
Image kicking us off. His honorable mentions are Bard's Tale, Kingdom Hearts, Final Fantasies, all the D&D and AD&D games, the WWE 2K games. I never would have thought to include those, but I'll allow it.
He made a compelling case in our text thread
in our
the
group
other
chat.
Day.
Yeah. So I accept it. And Star Wars Galaxies, his actual list: World of Warcraft, Cyberpunk 2077, EverQuest, Dark Age of Camelot, and of course, Days Gone.
Yeah. You know it was going to be.
Always got to add the dramatic pause.
Yeah. Let's see. And the man himself who suggested our top five, Nick 59524, Nick W, says his honorable mentions are Fallout 3, Skyrim. Now, the early Fallout games, are those the ones that are turn-based? Do I have that right? I could look it up.
I think so. I've never played a Fallout game.
Yeah, the only one I ever tried to play was, it might have been 3, where I don't remember. I couldn't get into the Fallout games. I'm really interested to see the TV show they've got coming out, but I just never could get into those games. Let's see, he says Fallout 3, Skyrim, Witcher 3. I figured we would have seen Witcher 3 before now. That's a popular game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chuck says it's 1 and 2 that are the turn-based games.
Okay.
And yes, you could divorce your wife by Sword Strike and Fable. Like you could do some weird stuff in the original Fable games.
Yeah.
And he says FF7 and Earthbound. And at his number five spot, he's got Mass Effect, the very first 360 I bought and played and immediately fell in love with the world and characters. I agree. I rented that game. Literally, there was nothing else to rent, and I rented it off the cover alone because I was just like, I wonder what this is. And then I looked at it on the back, and I saw BioWare, and I was like, oh, these are the people that made KOTOR. So I rented it, fell in love with it, and immediately went and purchased it so I could have it and play it. Number four, Lost Odyssey, one of the most underrated 360 games. Number three, Final Fantasy VIII. I played the hell out of the Final Fantasy VIII demo I had back in the day. I eventually bought years later and loved it. Oh, and here's one that I figured would be on here before now. Number two,
much earlier,
Chrono Trigger. Masterpiece. First played it on an emulator. The story is excellent and the music is fantastic. I agree.
Yep. I love the soundtrack to this game. I know I think it was for episode 100, was it, that we reviewed this game?
I think so. It's been a while. I know it's been a while back we did.
But hang on a second. I think I lost your sound.
Oh, check 1, 2, 3. Check, check. Chickity, check, check. Check.
There we go. Okay. I remember listening to the soundtrack nonstop leading up to the review of that game. Like, I love the music.
And the guy that did the soundtrack for it go crazy or something? Or like,
I think it
sent him into like an anxiety tailspin or something like that. Something weird happened with the music on that game, but it came out great. At his number one, Persona 4 Golden. My favorite game of all time. I love the characters, story, and world. It's the only game that made me laugh and cry.
Fantastic.
I never played any of the Persona games.
I didn't either.
Next up,
we have Mr. Raven Ghostpaw. His honorable mentions are World of Warcraft, Dark Cloud, and Trials of Mana. So many Mana games.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, Final Fantasy 14. Four, Golden Sun and Golden Sun Lost Age. I tried to get into the Golden Sun games, but for some reason I couldn't. But I need to give those another shot because they seem like games that I would like. Number three, Chrono Trigger. Two, Secret of Mana. And number one, Baldur's Gate 3.
I really want to
play that.
That's
a very popular game.
Let's see. Up next, we have Mr. Brandon Rutledge. He says, this was definitely the hardest list for me to put together. I chose to stick to one game per franchise for the top five. I apologize for the insane amount of honorable mentions. I honestly could not leave any of them out. Let's see. For his honorable mentions, they are Diablo II, Eternal Sonata. Says criminally underrated, great work on music-related theme, including famous composer Frederick Chopin being a major party member. Final Fantasy VII, considered one of the greatest. Final Fantasy IX, one of the greatest in the franchise. Distinct party members, great soundtrack, so much to love about it. Final Fantasy X, as I have stated many times before, my favorite video game of all time. I've already said plenty over the years. Final Fantasy Tactics, arguably the best Final Fantasy that is not a mainline numbered title. Kingdom Hearts, where it all began for this amazing crossover franchise and one of my most favorite games of all time. Kingdom Hearts 3, they finally got Pixar characters. How do you say this? Kudelka? Koudelka.
That's better than what I would have guessed.
The predecessor to the acclaimed Shadow Hearts trilogy, but much darker. Scary environment mixed with polar opposite characters and tactical combat. Parasite Eve, a near-perfect horror-themed JRPG, very fun and unique battle system. Secret of Mana, one of the games that popularized action RPGs. Star Ocean, the second story, easily the best game in the Star Ocean franchise, which may not say too much. Star Ocean, till the end of time. Despite having one of the worst plot twists in video game history, I still enjoy this game. And Wild Arms 3, take a gunslinger western theme, mix it with steampunk, and you get this great game. And now for his actual top five. Number five, Shadow Hearts Covenant. The best game in the Shadow Hearts trilogy. Greatly improved Judgment Ring battle system. Never heard of that. Amazing cinematics and great story. Legend of Dragoon at number four. Sony made their own JRPG and it was amazing. Great button timing battle system. Outstanding medieval atmosphere and original flavor. It was way overdue for a remake. Number three, Kingdom Hearts 2. Arguably the best of the Kingdom Hearts franchise, introduced to the mysterious Organization 13 and the Nobodies, virtual opposites to the Heartless. Great recreated worlds from Disney films, except Pirates of the Caribbean, Maleficent, and Pete make fun reoccurring villains. Number two, Chrono Trigger. It's Chrono Trigger, need I say more. The best RPG to involve time travel, so many twists and turns in the plot. One of the best battle systems in history. That is number one, Final Fantasy VI. Three on SNES. Insert NCR number joke here. One of, if not the best Final Fantasy games in the franchise. 14 distinct party members. Some of the best 16-bit visuals from our generation. Amazing soundtrack. And one of the most memorable villains with an equally memorable laugh.
I love a good villain laugh.
Nick in the chat room says, I forgot to mention Dark Souls 3, Elden Ring, and Bloodborne. The Souls games are some of my absolute favorite RPGs.
Nice. Next up, we have Hallam Akbar. His two honorable mentions, and he says, I'm not doing it to be annoying. I genuinely love Final Fantasy II and Zelda II, both normally considered to be the worst of their franchises. Like, I won't bash people that like Zelda II.
If you like it, you like it.
Yeah, you like it, you like it. And I know you'll complain, but that's the Japanese NES Final Fantasy II, not the American SNES Final Fantasy II.
I mean, if you like stuff, you know, Zelda II, I mean, a lot of people like Meatloaf too, and Meatloaf is disgusting. So, you know, like what you like.
You know, Meguiar's here in town actually makes a really good meatloaf.
I might actually try meatloaf from Meguiar's. Like, I think Meguiar's could put a shoe on my table and it would taste good.
They're the only place I'll eat meatloaf from. His actual list, number five, Elder Scrolls IV, Oblivion. I imagine I'd like Skyrim better, but I only played it for 10 hours, so I can't say for sure. Kind of the opposite of what we were saying earlier.
Yeah.
Tales of Symphonia for the GameCube. I like this game so much, I say I'm a Tales fan, but this is the only game I played in the series. Number three, Fallout New Vegas for the Xbox 360. I made the mistake of playing this on the hard difficulty, so I had to eat, drink, and sleep. Otherwise, I probably would have liked it better than three. Number two, Fallout 3, also for the Xbox 360. I got lost in this world. I chose the Explorer perk. Excuse me, and spent more time in the post-game finding all the areas than I did playing the main game. That's what's great about games like that, is you can find so much to do instead of just the main story.
You know what I'm realizing? Much like the Super Nintendo, the Xbox 360 had a lot of great RPGs.
Mm-hmm. That it did. And his number one, of course, the Mass Effect trilogy, also for the Xbox 360. I played the first game as I was getting out of the army. I said I had appointments and hid in my barracks and beat it in a work week. That's impressive.
Yeah.
I love this world and read every codex entry, and that actually got me into science and space exploration.
Wow.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I think AI will open up a relationship building RPG, and Mass Effect will probably be considered the first of that genre. I absolutely love this game.
That's actually
what I love to hear about, you know, games like this that can inspire people to you know, find a passion.
You know, I've been thinking about it a lot, and I actually agree with what he said. I've been actually thinking about that. Once they start having AI generative story making in video games, I think Mass Effect's going to be, I agree, I think it'll be a remake with an actual AI controlling the story and the narrative. So it's going to be different for everyone.
I'm sorry, I was reading a comment in the chat.
We're not saying that on the show.
That's funny though. Yeah, I mean, that very well could happen. I think Mass Effect would be the perfect platform for it.
Let's see, Mr. Justin Nispel, it says Pokemon Yellow Game Boy. The Legend of Zelda for Super Nintendo, Kingdom Hearts PS2, Monster Rancher for PS1. I've never heard of Monster Rancher, and they must have done well enough because he says Monster Rancher 2 for the PS2.
I've heard of Monster Rancher. I've never played them, but I'm at least aware of their existence.
It's first I've ever heard of it. Sounds awesome, though. Monster Rancher? That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Let's see. All right, so we have one left. And that would be Mr. Tyler Watson. Let's see. Well, I think I'm going to have to pull this up on my phone.
No, yeah, actually, that is. Yeah, one more left. And here's the big one.
Okay, so let me pull this up on my phone.
If we need to trade off, we can, because I think his list is as long as everybody else is put together.
Oh, it's I can handle it.
All right.
Okay, so from Mr. Tyler Watson, he says, oh boy, this is going to be a big one. Honorable mentions, Radiant Historia for the DS/3DS, where you manipulate events across two different timelines to save your friends and the world. That's a much better concept than what Marvel's been doing with the multiverse.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon Ball Z Boo's Fury for the Game Boy Advance, the third in the Legacy of Goku series. This one went all out in story and side quest. I'll have to check that one out. Oh, I forgot about these. The Marvel Ultimate Alliance series. Originating with the X-Men Legends series on PS2, you create a four-man squad of heroes to take on the bad guys. Ultimate Alliance 2 is still my favorite with its very loose adaptation of the Civil War storyline. That was a great, great RPG that my friends and I used to play. Ultimate Alliance 2 was so good. Xenogears for PS1. Get giant robots and fight God. Enough said.
All right.
yeah, with a generous portion of philosophy with it. Legend of, I'm going to get this wrong, but Tyler, feel free to let me know how to actually say it. Legend of Ligeia.
That's for PS1.
Your party bonds with what are essential symbiotes to restore magic trees to drive back a mist that spawns monsters that is threatening to engulf the world.
Hey, that sounds like The Mist. Stephen King's The Mist.
Literally, it sounds like The Mist. Mega Man Battle Network.
You get to kill your entire family at the end of the game.
Mega Man Battle Network for the Game Boy Advance. Instead of a robot, Mega Man is an AI computer program that can dive into the net to bust viruses to help protect both the real and digital worlds. That's an interesting concept. Yeah. I like that. Kingdom Hearts series, the story is almost incomprehensible, even to someone like me who has played almost every entry, but I love it. There's way too many spinoffs with Kingdom Hearts. Fallout 4/Skyrim had to lump these two together since they both scratch a similar itch. Super Mario RPG for the Super Nintendo and Switch. The first ever RPG I ever played. I first tried to play it like a traditional Mario game, but eventually learned how to play it properly. The Golden Sun series for the Game Boy Advance. Still the finest RPG series produced on the GBA. Golden Sun and its sequel, The Lost Age, are underrated gems. Final Fantasy IV, still my favorite of the series. I think it's a great entry point for anyone who hasn't played a Final Fantasy game before. Fire Emblem Three Houses.
And we're still not to his actual list yet. We're still in honorable mentions.
We're about to be. This is his last honorable mention. Fire Emblem Three Houses for the Switch. I've played a number of Fire Emblem games, but this one is my favorite. You get roped into being a teacher at a military academy, pick which of the three houses you want to be in charge of, then fight a civil war and save the world from a returning ancient evil.
I've heard the Fire Emblem games are good. I just have never, I don't know, it feels so daunting to try to jump in at this point.
Moving into his actual list, number 5, Dragon Quest VIII. For the PS2/3DS, the first game I played in the Dragon Quest series. I bought it based on the reputation of the name alone and didn't regret it. I instantly loved the characters, both party and the monsters, as well as the story. Number 4, the Pokemon series. I absolutely cannot pick one entry, so I'm picking them all.
That is cheating.
I've been with the series since Red and Blue dropped in 98, and I haven't skipped a mainline entry yet. Even the games I dislike the most, I can even find good things to say about them. Remember, gotta catch them all isn't just a clever slogan, but a personal challenge. Number 3, Persona 3 Reload for modern consoles. A remake of the original Persona 3 for PS2, this was the first game I played in either the Persona series or its parent series, Shin Megami Tensei. I got completely based on a review in a magazine, and I'm glad I took the risk. My wife and I both fell in love with it and each played it obsessively over a summer. The game runs on an in-game calendar, and she's about a month and a half ahead of me. I love the remixed music and quality of life improvements on this remake. Number 2, Chrono Trigger for the Super Nintendo and DS. Easily the greatest RPG ever made, without any question. You had the absolute dream team of creators from both Squaresoft and Enix together back when they were separate companies and in direct competition with each other. Crazy how things change.
Mm-hmm.
Come together to make something nothing short of a masterpiece. I first played it on the PS1 as part of the Final Fantasy Chronicles release when it was paired with FF4 in a two-pack of fantastic games. But it wasn't until the DS release, which I completely forgot they did a DS release of this game, that I fully got into it and finished it. As soon as I did, I immediately started up New Game Plus. I can't say more about this game that hasn't already been said. Number 1.
Here we go.
Lunar 2 Eternal Blue Complete for PS1. I said Chrono Trigger was the greatest RPG ever made, not that it was my favorite. That honor belongs to this game. A PS1 upgraded version of a Sega CD game and a sequel to Lunar, the Silver Star Story, also a Sega CD game that got a complete version for the PS1. I first played this around 2002 in high school when a friend let me borrow it. I was immediately enthralled by it. The characters, the world, the story, the music. I was completely absorbed by it. I returned it to my friend after I finished it and had to get my own copy. And there was one at the Game Exchange in Pascagoula. It was there for months in the glass case under the register while I saved up a combo of store credit and cash from birthday and Christmas. I finally go into the store to get it. Now I had become friendly with the guy who worked there and would often just go in after school to talk games with him. He waved at me as I walked in. There was only one other customer in the store and he was checking out. So I stood right in line behind him. The worker asked him if he needed anything else and he said, yeah, let me get that Lunar 2 also. Oh, that sucks. My jaw dropped and my heart sank. I was speechless and I just walked out the door. I would have done the exact same thing.
I would have tackled that guy through the plate glass window in the front of the store.
Would have reenacted the Peter Griffin and Giant Chicken fight from Family Guy. Let's see. Oh, I was reading the chat. The worker greeted me and asked what I wanted to look at. All I could muster was a weak that as I pointed out the door. I saw the realization hit his face as his eyes widened and all he could say was, I'm so sorry, dude. I finally managed to secure a copy about 10 years ago and I'm happy. Long story short, absolutely give this game a try, as well as the first game. They don't get a lot of love, but they're worthy of your time.
We made it, everybody. We made it to the end of the list. There was a lot of entries this week. So,
yeah, this was really cool. I love when there's a lot of entries for the top 5 lists.
Man, you guys were passionate about this one. I dig it.
This could have been a top 10.
Probably. Well, then, but we can't be here for 10 hours. You know, we have an hour.
I forget I said that. Yeah, just cut that out of the episode.
Thank you guys for giving us all your lists this week. Thank you for hanging out with us, being in the Discord and everything. But yeah, go play some RPGs, everybody. There's apparently a lot of them out there, and they're all a lot of them have their good things and bad things. So just find what you like.
Absolutely.
But Derek, what is going on with the Derek Diamond experience this week?
So this is actually a great segue to that, because I didn't ask you, have you watched X-Men 97 yet?
Yes, I have. I watched the first two episodes this last weekend, and then I see who you have on your damn show this week, and I'm like, what?
Sometimes timing just works out.
That's crazy.
I got to chat with George Buza, a.k.a. the voice of Beast from X-Men the Animated Series and X-Men 97. So we talk about, you know, the excitement building up to the show finally being released. And just a lot about his background as an actor and how he found that was, to me, much like Cal Dodds, the voice of Wolverine. Like, you could make a CGI Beast and put George Buza as the voice,
mm-hmm.
and I would be happy.
Speaking of the new X-Men 97, what do you think about it so far? I love it.
Oh, I love it. It's so good. It's one of the few shows that I had high expectations going for, and it actually surpassed it.
Yeah.
The story's great. I love the animation. The animation is great.
I was actually mad when the second episode was over with, because they're not putting them out all at once. It's week by week. I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah. But yeah, if you haven't watched X-Men 97 yet, go on Disney Plus and check it out. And then go check out my conversation with George Buza. You can find that on all major podcasting platforms, as well as my YouTube channel, which you can find at linktree.com/ddiamondpodcast.
And go check out my other podcast with, of course, Mr. Jacob Craig over at the Open Micers podcast, at Open Micers, Twitter and Instagram. Just go. We've had some really good guests over the last few weeks. We've had some really good hostful episodes. Where just, I don't even want to say, this is a PG-13 rated, podcast. So I can't say some of the stuff that we talked about on the last few episodes, but just go check it out. I had a lot of clips to do for TikTok over the last few weeks.
Jacob should start asking the guest at the end of each episode what their favorite Final Fantasy game is.
Yeah, it should. See what they say. Probably most of the guests.
Since he's such a fan.
Most of the guests are going to be like, "What the hell is a Final Fantasy?" But yeah, go
is
check
that
it
a
out.
Star War?
Yeah, go check it out. Openmicers.com, and just go give us a listen. But that's going to do it for this week. Is that everything?
I think so.
Let me turn up our music here as we walk out the door. And if you want to email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. Nerdcaveretro.com takes you to our link tree. That takes you everywhere you need to go as far as our socials, our Patreon, our merch shop. We even have a Cash App and a PayPal button up there. If you don't want to be a patron, but you want to give us some money, that's how you do it. Nerdcaveretro.com. Also, ncrmerch.com takes you to our merch shop, where we got t-shirts, hats, stickers, magnets, bags, mugs, whatever your nerdy little heart desires. Also, if you can't do that, you don't have a whole lot of cash to spend, we understand. Times are tough. Go leave us a review and or a 5-star rating wherever you listen to the show. So, Derek, please tell them what it's all about.
May the way of the hero lead to the Triforce.
Yes, Fushroda! Hey, Derek, have you heard the news?
What news?
We officially have our very own line of coffee at brezcoffeeco.com.
That's right. Nerd Cave Retro now has its very own medium roast coffee.
If you want to try it yourself, or even some of the other awesome flavors like Wizard's Potion, which is a butterscotch, caramel, and hazelnut flavored roast,
or the Dragon's Breath Roast, which is a cinnamon dolce flavored roast,
they have tons of different flavors, and you can also just get a regular Colombian roast and add any flavor to it that you want. They even keep their seasonal roasts all year round.
If you need that boost to get you through those all-night gaming sessions, then head over to brezcoffeeco.com and use the promo code NCR for 10% off your order.
This podcast is a Zoo House LLC production.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.